Hello and welcome. This is Couples Counseling for Parents, a show about couple relationships, how they work, why they don't, what you can do to fix what's broken.
Here are our parents.
Our dad, Dr. Stephen Mitchell,
and our mom, Erin Mitchell.
Hello, and thanks for joining us today on Couples Counseling for Parents. I'm Dr. Stephen Mitchell.
I'm Erin Mitchell.
And we are excited to talk about our topic for the show. But first, we are really excited to tell you that we have written a book.
We wrote a book.
We wrote a book, and this book is called Too Tired to Fight. And it is the 13 essential conflicts that parents must have to keep their relationship strong. So yes, it's a book about conflict, but it's a book about how you can have conflict with your partner and also that conflict lead to connection for the two of you. So we are really excited. We have worked very hard on this book.
Oh my goodness, so hard. I have a question.
Yes, what?
So we wrote a book, but I'm seriously like, would you have, is that what you would say, that this book is about conflict? When you just said it is a book about conflict, I was like, oh, that's not what I would say at all.
Well, I mean, I think it's what I just said. It's a book about how conflict can lead to connection for you and your partner. So I think it's the basic premise. You know, a lot of couples do feel just too tired to fight, but they also feel that in their parenting journey, they are fighting a lot. There's a lot of conflict. And so,
or there's no conflict or productive conflict.
Right. And basically what, you know, we've got tired, disconnected parenting partners.
Right.
And we're trying to present like, you know, hey, here are 13 very, 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 very common conflicts and topics of discussion in your parenting partner relationships that come up and oftentimes cause parenting partners to feel very disconnected. And we want to show you how you can turn that around.
Do you want to know what I would have said?
Sure.
What I would say?
What would you say?
That I think that this book is about connecting to yourself and connecting to your partner. And we use these 13 common conflicts that derail that, like very, very often, to sort of model how even in the midst of these, you can still attune to yourself and find connection with your partner.
Yeah, I think that's what I said.
It may have been.
That's exactly what I said. Nonetheless,
We wrote a book.
We do agree about what the book is about because we wrote it together. And we maybe have different ways of explaining it, which of course we would. But you can find this book and you can pre-order this book, which honestly, I'm going to be real like straightforward with everyone.
Pre-orders
are massive and really, really, really important for our book being seen as kind of important, and booksellers then based on pre-order will promote your book even more. And so if you value us, if you value this podcast, if you value what we do on Instagram, if you have benefited in any way from anything that we've done, we would like unashamedly, we want you to pre-order this book and support us and help us. We want it to be a bestseller. We want it to get on all those cool, awesome lists. And the way that that happens is if you pre-order it. So if you go to our website, couplescounselingforparents.com, you can click on the book tab and pre-order it there. Or you can go to our Instagram. There's a little highlight circle that says book. You can click on that and order it there. Or you can go to our LinkedIn bio on our Instagram, click on that, and there's a tab that says book, and you can pre-order it there.
You can also pre-order it anywhere you've ever bought a book before.
True.
It's already there. You just have to.
Amazon, Target, Books A Million.
Barnes and Noble,
all those places. So Hudson's.
I think it is becoming more and more common for people to know that the pre-order time is a really important time for the authors. More and more people have said that, like, oh, this is important for you, right? So I think people are knowing
massive.
That. We didn't know that before, though. But yes, it is an important time for us, and it would mean so much to us.
Yes. We thank you in advance. Too Tired to Fight. It's out there. It's in the universe.
And we're really proud of it. We think it's a really good book.
Yeah, it is a really good book, actually. So you should read it. Right. I think it will help your relationship in a very, very significant way. So, and we'll be talking a little bit more about the book. You'll probably see a little more on our Instagram and hear a little bit more about it here on the podcast. But it comes out for sale July 9th is its official release date. But that won't be important to y'all because you will have already pre-ordered the book and you won't have to buy it on July 9th because
it'll just show up
at your house. That's right.
Okay.
Yes. So, but back to the show. Thank you. Today we wanted to discuss something. Default parent. Ooh, hot, hot, hot topic. And oftentimes default parent, there's a conversation, needed conversation, very important conversation that needs to happen related to division of labor and some of the real practical task-oriented things that take place in a parenting partner relationship. But today we wanted to focus more on what we might term like some of the emotional, relational, mental aspects of the default parent and how that might present itself between parenting partners and then what you can do to work through that. So we have a little case example here. We'll read it for you and then we will kind of jump into trying to help Stephanie and Ryan. Steph and Rye, they're our characters for today. So, can I call you Rye?
As someone who goes by their full name,
that's so true.
You would think
I'm not a Steve. I'm a Steven. That is true. But these aren't real people, so I don't think that they really care. Do they?
I don't know. Their names are written: Stephanie and Ryan.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to offend these figurative characters, and I will use their full names.
Fantastic.
Awesome. All right. So Stephanie and Ryan, they have been together for 6 years, and they have two kids. And they both wanted to be parents, and before they had kids, they remember moments when they would both stay up and talk excitedly about what kind of family life they wanted and that they could have together. And these conversations helped them feel close, and it gave them both a lot of confidence that they were ready to start their family. And now that they're 4 years into being parents, they have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, Stephanie has lost that feeling of confidence that she once had in Ryan and their ability to be the kind of family they imagined they would be. And much of this feeling for Stephanie revolves around Ryan not engaging with her and thinking about how they want to parent, what kind of kids they're hoping to help develop, and being intentional about thinking through the kind of father he wants to be. And all of these are things Stephanie has committed hours and hours of her time to consider and things that she wakes up and intentionally thinks about every day. She's active in trying to read about parenting and child development. She's active in trying to take care of her own physical and mental health through exercise. She's even gone to some therapy. Stephanie sees her role as a mother and parent as one of the most important jobs and privileges she has, and she works to succeed at her job and to fulfill this privilege. And Stephanie's frustration with Ryan is that she does not see this same level of effort and commitment from him in relationship to being a father and parent. And it's not that Ryan is a bad dad or not loving towards the kids. He's very loving, but he does not engage Stephanie when she wants to discuss parenting or discuss if Ryan is taking the proper steps to care for his own physical and mental wellness. Stephanie knows Ryan cares, and she doesn't want to get into a competition about who's working harder as a parent, but she does not feel that Ryan is sharing the burden of parenting in regards to being mindful about how they parent, the type of home environment they're creating, and caring for himself so that he can be the best version of himself with the family. That's Steph and Ryan. So...
You just call her Steph.
Oh, sorry. sorry, Stephanie. I apologize. what a hypocrite, you know? Don't call me Steve, but I'll shorten your name.
I think this is so common.
Yes. I was thinking about this, and I was, you know, kind of writing up this case example. And just, so all these case examples are just, you know, kind of a conglomeration of a lot of the conversations that we have with couples.
Yes, but they're never like based on.
Yeah, they're not like specific individual couples stories. But as I was writing it up, I was even thinking, I was like, oh, Aaron and I have had this very conversation. Yes. And like not too long ago even. And I think our conversation is primarily centered around you wanting me to think about my own like self-care, my own like internal mental health, my own, you know, kind of those sort of things in terms of, hey, maybe there's some things you should think about or consider, or, you know, because it feels like it's coming out, you know, in your interactions with us and the family in a way that maybe you don't want. So I feel like we've had those conversations for sure.
Oh, sure. I think it's important to talk about this because I don't think this conversation ever goes away. So, I mean, even as you're
as 16 years in, it has not gone away.
Yes, but I think it is constantly evolving because I think you and like me asking for you to do some work and like, hey, I think you're being more patient than we feel like you're being. Certainly. But that has shifted. Like that was not the conversation we were having when we had newborns.
Sure.
That was not the conversation we were having. Yeah. You know, like I just think it's not like a thing that goes away.
Yeah. And I think that there's a dynamic. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a dynamic. So with Stephanie and Ryan, like there's this idea. And so like, you know, some behind the scenes conversations that Stephanie and Ryan are having. So kind of, they go like this. Stephanie sees Ryan maybe feeling stressed out or being a little more short with the kids than, you know, maybe he would like, or she sees Ryan come home and just kind of be tired and disengaged. You know, Stephanie's also working, coming home too. Like they're both got full-time jobs. They, you know, both work outside of the home. Both are coming back from work.
Even if they don't.
Sure.
But go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, for their life, they do. Stephanie and Ryan, they're both really, you know, their careers are going great. They're doing well. But for Ryan, it's not that he's some like terrible, disinterested kind of father
or ragey
or dad or angry, but it's just that he leaves thinking about how they want to raise their kids. So like, you know, are we gentle parents or are we, I don't know, some people do, I don't know, what's the other, some other type, are we, some people do like a love and logic parenting, or some people do,
it's not the point.
You know, all these different parenting styles that people, you know, like what kind of parenting we do? Oh, well, you know, Stephanie will take care of that and tell me what to do.
We're good parents. Like, let's trust that.
Let's trust our instincts. You know, I had good experience. Like, I know what to do. Or even like developmentally, like, so our kids are 4 and 2. Like, what might they be experiencing about the world? What might be useful for their emotional development or their physical development? You know, it's kind of like, oh, you know, Steph worries about all of that stuff. I don't need to, you know, she worries enough for both of us. Those kinds of things, I think, are the conversations that might happen. And I think for Stephanie, she's saying like, this stuff is important and I want us to be on the same page and see that you have a feeling that it's important too.
So I think that it can go a lot of ways. I think it's definitely what you're talking about, but I think one of the primary ways that this becomes default parent territory is definitely some of the things you're saying, but also like we have a 4 and a 2-year-old. That means we need to start thinking about school.
Oh.
That means we need to start thinking about, you know, like future things. Like, are we enrolling them in soccer? You know, I saw up at the park up in our neighborhood the other day, there's some kids that looked about their age. Like, is that something we want to be doing, or should we be doing that? Or,
right. To get them connected to friends and a community and an experience of like,
yes,
you know,
and I think it matters. Yes, to your point, like yes, but I think where it feels lonely is when, I mean, I'm personal again, like me trying to bring these things up. I mean, we've been talking about school for 13 years and it's like these things work themselves out. I that is a terrible thing to say. Like, no, these things don't work themselves out. I work them out. Like they get worked out in your mind because I have labored. I have spent the time. I have invested myself. I've projected 17 different scenarios about how each thing is going to impact them. And what I want is for one, you to see that that matters. And two, to feel like all of the burden of this doesn't fall on me.
Right.
That you care, that you're interested, that you're involved in this.
And not like that I care from the standpoint of like, okay, well, run me through all the information that you know and that you've done the research on. I'm willing to talk. No, it's like.
Or the like, I trust you. I know you're going to make a great decision.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. I love your trust. So, I don't want to be the only one making this decision.
You know, another way I see it is like, if you just think about, how will our family interact with our kids when they show the range of emotions that kids show? But like, what are we going to do? And I think that this is something that the default parent oftentimes has really drilled down on, has read some books, has, you know, listened to some podcasts like this, has, you know, kind of tried to understand, okay, what is the best way to interact with a kid to help their emotional development, flourish. And oftentimes what that default parent also realizes is, oh, if I'm going to help my kid flourish emotionally, I have to think about my own emotional world. And maybe there's some things that might need to be different because there's a direct connection between how a parent interacts with their emotional world and how they interact with their kid in their emotional world. And oftentimes the default parent is the one who's like, okay, I've got all this, you know, I've done all this work to try and understand. And then they look to their other partner and their partner says, you know, Ryan says like, you know, I'm just going to go on instinct here. I'm just going to, you know, like this is what people did. This is what happened for me. And it turned out fine. And there's this idea of like, why are you so stressed out and worried about this? I don't need to do that. And what that does is it leaves Stephanie hanging in a sense, because what she's wanting to do is say like, I want to be a unified team who's really thought through the best practice here on how to engage with our kid in this emotional kind of development. And what that means is we need to engage ourselves with our own emotional development and think about how that's impacting them. And she's hearing from Ryan, you know, Ryan saying either, no, that's not important. Or he might just say, okay, well, tell me what you want me to do. Like, what do we need to do?
Yes. So I think, yes. I mean, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think how I see this happening, and then I think we should do the like how it works. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. But I think it happens very often. I mean, we are intentionally and purposefully and always will continue to say default parent rather than mom. But very often this is the mom.
Right. Yes.
And it does matter sometimes. It doesn't, it is not always the case. So I'm not going to say that it is, even though very
often, because it's not always the mom, but
it is very often the person who has been pregnant with this little person. And I think that there's this experiential bodily change that does happen when you are pregnant, where everything about your life is forced, maybe not everything, but man, almost every last thing in your life, the way you sleep, how you work, how you walk, everything changes. Mm-hmm. And that is forced upon you. That like happens to you in a way. And then in a way that never happened to you. Like that happened to
right.
me.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that continues to happen. So then you birth this person and you do think about like what do we want to do? How do I want this to go? And I think that is a very common thing for it to happen where it's like, well, I'm going to do this. I'm doing this. I'm going to do this as intentionally. And
well, I think it heightens that idea like of priority and privilege. So I think in the sense of like, you've had this physiological experience where you've had to prioritize, you know, a kid in a really unique, important way. But then also I think there's this great, at least my understanding from you, like this great profound sense of like a privilege that you feel like this kid is a priority and it is a privilege to like have this kid. And it's not that I didn't feel like our kids were a priority or privilege. It's just there was something different about it, I think, because of that attachment embodied experience.
Yes, I think that's exactly what happens. And I think the trend continues because I do think there were different things asked of you mm-hmm. in that time that were not asked of me. I think you felt a great deal of pressure. Well, I think everybody feels a great deal of pressure, but I think that's the point. What we're not saying is it's one person, not the other. It's both of us. Stephen felt privilege. I felt pressure. There was a lot of things happening for everybody, but it is different. It's different. Mm-hmm. And what we're saying is at some point, what the question, what the request, what the longing, frankly, is join me here.
In this like, priority and privilege.
Everything about me has changed. Some of the things I'm still mm-hmm. trying to figure out if I like, who I am, what this means. Mm-hmm. But also like evolve with me.
Yeah.
Like,
I love that. Evolve with me.
Yeah.
Like, change with me. Like I'm changing.
Yes. Yeah. Like I am changing in ways that are uncomfortable, in ways that I do like, in ways I'm not sure about yet. And I think that is an overwhelming thing. And it feels like I'm the only one it's happening to.
Yeah.
And it feels like, and I think to some extent it's because it wasn't forced upon you.
Right.
To some extent. And I don't love that word forced, but it's kind of true, but also like choose this, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. be in this, immerse yourself in this, like I'm immersed in mm-hmm, this, and mm-hmm. and when you don't, it feels like you won't. Like, why are you resisting this?
So, two words that you're using that feel very impactful to me are evolve with me and immerse yourself in this with me, and I think that in terms of what do you do? You know, how do you make this active change? How do you shift this dynamic when there's the, you know, this default parent, non-default parent, and you're missing each other here? I think that those words are so important. It is, and for that non-default parent, what it is it is an understanding that you have to evolve. You have to change. You, Aaron, had to change in ways like that were physical, that were emotional, that were spiritual, that were psychological, that was just
like cellular.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. like unbelievable. And I didn't. There's a level of like depth to what you're talking about. And so I feel like the evolution for me at the very least is to know that that happened for you and that what you want is to feel that I'm evolving with you too and that I demonstrate that in some way. And I can demonstrate that by like, hey, guess what? I was doing some research on child development and I was just thinking through, you know, our kids are, you know, 12, you know, 10 and 6. Like, you know, this is kind of where they're at in life. Like, you know, are we, you know, like having that kind of conversation means I'm evolving with you.
And immersing yourself as well.
Right.
Like that's how it would work, that we would both be able to communicate about the things that are happening and that we would like be together in that. Even if it's like, I don't feel that. I'm mm-hmm. not. But I think how it doesn't work is someone feeling like they're dragging the other person. Like, you are coming to this preschool tour. Like, we are doing mm-hmm. this. And the other mm-hmm. person feeling dragged. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that furthers that gap like pressure.
Yeah,
like
being forced. Controlled or forced. Mm-hmm. But I think that both partners feel controlled and forced.
1,000,000%
Equally, right?
Yes, yes, 100%. Yes.
So Ryan feels controlled and forced because he's not doing enough to show that he cares. And Stephanie feels controlled and forced because she feels like it's left up to her.
I also think that this is one of those like why it doesn't work. Is I think there's a real fear of yes, we're parents and yes, we are immersing and evolving. I don't want that to be the only thing, though. Like, we're also these other people, and we have mm-hmm. these other lives, and we have, like, I'm not just this. And I think that there is some fear that, like, if I go ahead and do what you're asking mm-hmm. or what I feel like you're asking, I'm going to completely lose myself.
Which I guess I get, but think about it, too. I think it also is the thing, like, your life has changed. You have become parents. Parenting is a really big part of your life. What the result of evolving and immersing yourself in this role also gives you another context and another avenue and another experience that you can have of connecting with your partner. When you evolve and immerse and feel connected and like you're working together, like that's like a whole new realm of growth and of relational like goodness that you're able to have. And so I think there, yes, there's that fear, but also there's that possibility that it can, that to respond in these ways can actually bring you and your partner together and give you more space and more time to do all that other stuff that you know, be all those other parts of yourselves, but also to really enjoy and revel in this new context of parenting together.
Sure. So I think that's the one side of the fear. I think the other fear is this interpretation. So for the me's and the Stephanie's of like, my fear is you don't want this as much as I do. Or you don't like mm-hmm. it, or mm-hmm. you don't love our kids like I do, or you don't love me like you used to, and like that this has changed.
Yeah.
And so I think that there is some real fear of like, well, I'm not going to press too hard, or I'm going to press all the way. Like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but I think the balance is, it doesn't have to be extreme ends of the spectrum. But I think that that's what happens when this starts to emerge is people go to those extremes. And I think what you're saying is that someone engaging can create the space for the other person to feel like, oh,
yeah,
I can balance myself. Like, it doesn't have to be, we talk about nothing except preschool or
middle school
or high school.
But think about it. If you actually have evolved and immersed yourself, you don't have to keep talking about it. You have the conversations. You both feel like you're understood. You both feel like you have a pathway forward. You both feel like there's some resolution. Like, it actually frees space.
That's exactly right. I think you've created choice and not reaction.
Yeah, because outside of doing that, what you are in is a constant tug of war with one another, where
there's nothing but tension.
And all that does is exhaust you and make you want to stay away from each other, because,
or at least the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And so I mean I think in this, like, there's the reality. I think that there's two things. So, like, on your end, the Stephanie's and Aaron's, and like that idea of why this is so frustrating and why this is so painful and why it hurts. I think there has to be that recognition of it hurts because of the very things you said, like, because you feel missed, because you feel like I or Ryan miss the depth of the evolution and change that you have been through. And there's a feeling of you're not with me anymore. You're not coming with me anymore in this change. And so when we're talking about school, that's what we're talking about. When we're talking about the emotional development of our kid and, you know, like wanting to, like, that's why this is such a hard conversation. It's because it taps into those feelings of, oh, my priorities and have changed so much. I have had to evolve and immerse myself in this new role in a way that I could have never imagined. And I feel like you're not here with me.
So I think that is the crux of it. But I also think there's this other thing of like, and the assumption is those are the only parts left of me. You know, the only thing I love to talk about is preschool and soccer and whatever, yeah. emotional development. Like, that's all there is to me now, because I've evolved and immersed myself in this, that's all there yeah. is. And yeah. like, and that feels like a real.
Yeah.
Assumption. And honestly, it's slimy, you know, like, no, yeah. there's these, I'm forced to bring these up to you constantly right. because you're not
and you
engaging
not
engaging
and you not engaging with me doesn't allow you to be more.
Yes, exactly.
Because it keeps such you.
I'm being yeah. dragged back yeah. into, like, I'm constantly having to this. It won't resolve. It yeah. doesn't go away. So it just, yeah, yeah. I keep churning in it.
Yeah.
Which I think is that feeling of, like, I am drowning mm-hmm. in childhood decisions here. Right. And you're just watching me. And
yeah.
you're like, oh, but you're
yeah.
doing great. You're doing so good.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you're so good at it. Yeah. I'm like, no.
Like, yeah. And I think that, again, that where this conversation can get sideways a little bit too, is like, there's this idea that the non-default parent says, well, what I'm doing is important too. And I'm doing a lot. And it's like, you know, yes, you are. Yeah. Well, everything you're doing is important and you're doing a lot too.
And right? necessary. And good.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, you're a parent. And that's happened, and you can't leave that role and the lion's share of that role to someone else. You have to engage 100% in being a parent. It doesn't matter what else you're doing. Like because your partner is also engaging in that role, the default parent, 100%. So like you have to do the same thing. It doesn't matter what you're doing, because the role is a shared role. The role is something you're doing together, and so you have to do it together. And I think that is really important. And so you have to evolve and immerse together in an equitable way. And I think that is really hard for that non-default partner to get. And it's really hard for the non-default partner and the default partner to communicate about it, because there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of defensiveness and there's a lot of resentment and there's a lot of guardedness. But you have to evolve and immerse together.
I think that's the, you know, how to fix what's broken part here, is that it must be engaged. There's that saying that I'm pretty sure I picked up in one of the restaurants I worked at in college, which is that, or my graduate school education, sure. but I actually don't think it was. But, like, engage, don't enrage. And it's just true. So I think a lot of times partners in these types of conversations, it's like, well, this is going to be a conflict.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, like, hey, I trust you, or, mm-hmm. or the, you know, the Stephanies and the me's. Because even in the thing, it's like, Stephanie doesn't want to talk about it. I don't want to get into the who's doing which and what and I and you and ugh. Like, let's engage this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, as a we, and assume that we are a team in this. And yeah. like, hey, these are the five conversations or the things, choices, because a lot of it is choices. I mean, even I was thinking yeah. about us, like, our oldest is in sixth grade right now. And it seems like we should not need to be talking about high school.
Right.
And Steven's like, I'm not going to talk about that because it shouldn't be a conversation. And I'm like, that's not how this works.
I have totally not immersed myself. I was thinking about this too. Like, I'm convicted. I'm called to account
that's
here.
Not...
But because in a sense, I'm like, I haven't immersed myself in this school decision. I haven't done any research. I haven't been like, okay, what are the options out there? Let's like. Well, but you have.
But I think that this is my point. My point was not to have you publicly say this.
But I just have thought about
it. The point is that doesn't make sense to you. You're like, when I was growing up in sixth grade, I knew where I was going to high school.
True.
So that's how this is going to go. And that may be for us how that goes. But the
right.
point is, it doesn't have to go that way. There are lotteries where we live. Like, you can choose a lot
yeah.
of things. Like,
yeah, you can go wherever you want, pretty much.
40 minutes across town. It's yours yeah. if you want it. And I just think
yeah.
It's different. It's not how it is when you grew up, however it was when you grew up, wherever it was. And the way for this conversation to go away is to engage it. Like, okay, so what does this mean? These are the decisions at hand. These are the things we need to
yeah.
be talking about. you do a little bit, I'll do a little bit, and then we can come together. And then it's shared. It's shared.
Yeah. And so I think that...
And even the five decisions, if Stephanie and Aaron are the only people making that list of the five decisions at hand, that's not going to go well either. In our life, I don't do any sports. I show up. I'm very loud. Mm-hmm. Way too loud. I'm working on that. But...
Your voice carries.
It does. And I don't even know what I'm talking about. I just get so excited. But you handle all things sports, emails. I heard at practice yesterday, one of the dads was like, have we gotten 7 emails a day? Like, why are there so many emails right now?
Yeah.
Like, it can't be just one person even dictating the conversations about what's happening.
Right. You need to ask yourself the question. So if you're the default parent, this idea of the evolution and the immersion that you don't feel like your partner has kind of matched you in. Is that part of what some of your pain is? Is that part of what some of the frustration is? And if so, it might be useful for you to reflect on that and be able to communicate, not in a blaming or critical way, like, oh, I'm realizing why there's so much energy around this for me is because I feel like this in terms of the evolution and the immersion. And then I think,
what that means is like, this is what I think you have missed about the cost to me, which doesn't mean what I'm trying to share is my experience.
Yeah.
And that I don't feel like you've understood it or seen it.
And then I think if you're the non-default parent, I think the questions you have to ask yourself is, how have I missed the evolution that has taken place for my partner? And then let's just go positive. How can I immerse myself in my role as a parent in an equitable 100% kind of way? Like, what can I do? And I want to have that conversation with my partner and say, I feel like this is how I've missed that immersion. This is what I'm thinking. This is how I'm seeing that what immersion might look like. Does that fit for you? Would that, you know, does that feel like me engaging in a way that you've missed? Like, you have to have that kind of conversation.
And then I think the layer beneath all of that is the, like, how did we come to be here? Like, so if you have been resistant to that evolution and that immersion, rather than being like, I'm such a terrible person, or they're such a terrible partner, like, they don't, how come? Like, what are the stories that have informed that?
Yeah.
Like, how did that come to be? And what are the fears? What are the desires? So often when we are having this conversation with couples, that's where that connection comes back and understanding, like, I am afraid. This feels like a lot. I'm overwhelmed most of the time. And like, me too. Like,
Or I don't even know what to do. I practically, I just don't know what to do. Those kinds of things.
Or I'm afraid I'm going to get it wrong. So yeah, I do leave it up to you. And I can acknowledge that. That's freeing for people to hear. Like, so it's true. Like, I'm not crazy. I haven't been making this up. Like, no, you haven't. I'm nervous. I don't want those. Me either. But that isn't fair. Just because I'm scared. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, the house. So, they're very important.
So evolution and immersion. How can those two principles, those two concepts, guide you and your partner into a different kind of interaction around this very, very, very important topic? Today's show was produced by Aaron and Stephen Mitchell. If you're enjoying the podcast, please hit the follow button and leave us a rating. This helps our content become more visible to others who might enjoy it, and it lets us know how we can keep improving the show. And as always, we're grateful for you listening. Thanks so much for being with us here today on Couples Counseling for Parents. And remember, working on a healthy couple relationship is good parenting.